Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
I want to focus a little bit on John the Baptist, and we want to start by talking about how John Baptist enters the scene for us, particularly in Luke. In Luke, we are clearly told that John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin. They have a relationship there. And John the Baptist is also responsible in all four of the Gospels for baptizing Jesus. Now, the scene that we're about to read in a second has an element of this transfer of authority that's going to go on. I'll get to that. But I want to first set the theme of the idea of looking at John the Baptist against what he says and how he preached the message of what he was going to be talking about. And we get this in Luke 3. In Luke 3, John the Baptist identifies himself as a continuation of the voice of Isaiah, out of the Isaiah tradition. And he is going to talk to the people about conversion and coming back to a different way, changing the course of their lives, turning around. In Hebrew, when you turn around, we could also translate that as repentance. It's this idea of the direction of life you're on needs a new goal, a new direction to it. And John would say to the crowd of people that are coming to him to be baptized, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Then an important statement, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Now, I've teased around about the fact that I said other days, John the Baptist is not necessarily a guy you'd invite over for dinner. He's a little unpleasant, a little hard-edged to him. It's almost like he has this external skeleton on his body that makes him very hard. He would come down and he would say to those that are there, "Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is to be cut down and thrown into the fire." That's real warm and cuddly, isn't it? Wow. And then he comes, then he wraps up his little sermon here by indicating that somebody's to come along behind him, and this someone who's going to come along behind him is that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. He's talking about his cousin. He's talking about his cousin is what he's talking about. And he's got an idea of how it is that Jesus is going to come in this world. Now, we now flip over to Jesus' own self-identity, because John has now gotten himself in trouble with Herod, and he's been thrown in jail. He's been placed in jail. And so he keeps hearing these stories about what Jesus is doing in Galilee. He keeps hearing these stories, and it's getting reported back to him. He obviously has some kind of open door policy with this, and the King Herod does, because his disciples can report to John in jail. The disciples of John reported, I'm on page 66 of your Pew Bible, Luke 7, starting at verse 18. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. What things? Miracles that Jesus was performing. So John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" It's almost like, "Cuz, are you really the one that we're waiting for?" And cousin gets the message. When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus had just then cured many people of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and had given sight to many who were blind. And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Now, I will make a connection here, so you just got to work with me a little bit here. I want you to work with me, all right? There are creatures in the world that shed their outer skin, their outer skeletal system. They're like their external skeleton, and a lobster is one of those. Can we agree? All right? Lobsters, the first 2 or 3 years of their life, might change this outer skin that they have maybe 20 or 30 times a year. Then once they get to a more mature place, it happens about once a year. But they have this hard exterior to them, a very hard exterior to them. And then they shed this outer skin, and they enter into a place of extreme vulnerability. And what did they do in that place of vulnerability? They go and hide. They go and hide. Why? Because they live in a precarious world, and somebody's going to come along and gobble them up because they're no longer protected by this tough outer shell. I don't know about John the Baptist and everything there is to know about him, but I don't fancy him as being particularly warm and gentle and kind and cuddly. I get this impression of John the Baptist that there is a real tough, hard outer shell to him, and that he's a little confused about what's going on here. You heard what was there. You heard how he preaches. It's turn or burn mentality. It's this idea, if you don't turn your fanny around and get yourself heading back to God, you're going to burn. There's going to be awful, terrible stuff's going to happen to you. That's the message that he's communicating. If you had been here at 8:30, you would think that perhaps we were already burning a few people out in the area because the smell of the wood getting ready for the cobbler was permeating the building. You could almost smell fire and brimstone in the building. So he sends this message to Jesus, and he's asking the question, I'm hearing in you an element of gentleness. I'm hearing about you as an element of grace. I'm hearing about you as an element of healing. That you're here about making people move from a place of brokenness to a place of wholeness. Because what's going on here? What's happening? I don't understand. And Jesus comes back and says, I want you to do something here. I want you to trust your eyes. I want you to trust your ears. And if he had been here at 8:30 this morning, I would say, trust your nose. Because there's a change that's going on here, and that change is about the evidence of God's interaction with me, Jesus, and the rest of the world. And then he asks these questions. He makes these observations. Go and tell John what it is you see. Are lepers healed? Do the deaf hear? Do the blind see? To those that are ill, are they made well? So what he's suggesting to him is it's not about a turn or burn mindset. People talk about having Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That would suggest we need to have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior in order to respond from fear. And what Jesus is saying here is that I would rather you entertain the idea of treating me as your, I am the one, I am the Messiah, treat me as your personal Lord and Savior in order to respond to that in a positive way about bringing about change in the world. So he's saying to John the Baptist, you need to trust. Now, let's go back to the image of the lobster. Let's go back. I'm going to make that connection. We're going to go back to the image of the lobster here. And what is it that happens? The lobster sheds, it has this hard, brittle outer shell that protects it. And then it enters this period of vulnerability. Then it comes back and does what? It grows another shell. And I would say to you, the opportunity is for us to understand that we need to shed that tough outer shell that we may have, but then once we've shed that, the God we worship, the Jesus that we worship, the Holy Spirit that we worship, invites us to let that shell stay somewhere else. It invites us to be able to have perhaps a soft place. I don't know how about you, but I cannot tell you the number of people that I've met that fancy themselves as Christians that take off this one hard shell that they have, enter into this period of vulnerability where they're willing to lay some of this stuff down, and what do? They immediately pick up a Christianity that places them inside of a shell all over again. Marv's laughing. He's... You know some places like that, Marv? No. And so that's the issue. The issue is no longer one about how hard can you be, how brittle can you be, how angry can you be. You need to trust the Holy Spirit to take you to a different place. And what is that different place? A place that cures and heals and makes people better. Now we move to this second half of the sermon, and I realize that the second half here is that for the lobster farmer, the lobster woman, that there's this opportunity there that for them, going out and catching lobsters, that is fruit for them. They're capturing that stuff that's going to turn it into fruitfulness that they're going to see. So I'm not suggesting remotely that in your softness you become fruit for the lobstermen. But that having been said, what is the test that John the Baptist lays out? John the Baptist says you should be able to establish fruitfulness as a result of the change in the direction of your life. And what does Jesus do in this passage? He points back to the issue of fruitfulness that's there. Change has occurred. Change has occurred in a way that you can see it. It's demonstrable. You can smell it. You can see it. You can hear it. I'm adding the smell because you're going to love the cobbler at 10 o'clock. It's going to smell great. Change has occurred. And how do you know? You walk in and you can see the change that's there. You can feel the energy that's there. We talked about Hilltop changing people. We talked 2 weeks ago where Barbara Moeller came in here and she talked to us from the position of family promise of a former homeless person and how you here had used your building, our building, in order to change her very life. She didn't wake up that morning and decide to be homeless. Rather, a set of life circumstances brought her to that place. And you here helped her change her life by giving her a place of safety to come into and to be prepared to allow her to come in here without judgment, without having to tell her, you got to turn your life around, and instead offered her God's grace. You witnessed, just like Jesus was talking about here. Her life was changed. You made it different. The scouting program here at Hilltop is an example of change. The focus here is on leadership. The focus is on leadership and developing strong leadership within these young men and with the crew, young women. Our focus is trying to bring them from a place of where they are, not knowing how to lead, and we gently, lovingly, kindly encourage them of how to become better leaders. We have a lot of LDS kids that come into our program here. Why? Because our program is about developing leaders. And that's a fantastic element. And so our Boy Scout program, as Tim said, is all about transformation. It's this chance for kids to come in here and be altered by that. We go down to the rescue mission once a month. And believe me, at the rescue mission, they get a lot of turn or burn theology down there. They get it pounded into their heads, very much John the Baptist, Luke 3, which is this idea of, come on in here. Who told you to come in and get away from the vipers your brood of vipers? Well, who told you to come away and get away from the fire that's going to come? And they get that. And we come in there. The praise band comes in there and sings them songs of grace. We preach to them words of grace. We preach to them about words of affirmation, that they are sacred children of God. And the other knights that are there, except for the knight Elizabeth McVicker, goes there from Salt Lake City First United Methodist, they get this message, they've got to turn their lives around first. And what we say is, no. God's grace is extended to you in kindness and gentleness and love. It's a Jesus message. It's a Jesus message back to his cousin saying, John, I love you. I love you. You're a good guy. You really are. But you need to take that hard, brittle outer shell that you've got and take this place of vulnerability that you are. You're facing potential death with Herod. He's probably going to execute you. And you need to soften up your message. You need to soften up your message in what way? A way that sees this is not about turning and burning. It's rather about experiencing God's grace and allowing that God's grace to roll over you in such a way that you can literally see, smell, and taste the change that is going on as a result of the presence of Christ in the world. We're entering into exciting times. We really are. These are exciting, exciting times. But I would also say to you that we're in. We are in. You've heard the comment about what's the difference in the chicken and the pig as it relates to breakfast. Okay? The chicken is involved in breakfast, but the pig's committed. All right? We're committed. We are in. We are in all the way. Luke would quote Jesus as saying to people that once you've put your hand to that plow and you're on that path, there ain't no looking back. You're on the path. You're on the path, and we ain't looking back on this. So the message for us today is first, for us to be able to trust the Word of God. Trust our leadership. Trust the Holy Spirit that where we've gotten to is a softer place, moving from that hard, brittle outer skeleton, which says, I got to protect myself first, and move to a place of vulnerability in that trust. And what is it that your leadership is calling you to do? Nothing more than what Jesus called you to do, which is to be fruitful in the world, helping bring about change in such a way that people are made well. They are moved from a place of brokenness to a place of wholeness. And Jesus wraps up his sermon with, and if these words are not necessarily your words, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. We should never take offense at Jesus. The invitation is there for us to be blessed and understand what it is that Jesus calls for us to do, and not to ever be offended by his words, and to take his words of love, his words of grace, his words of kindness out into God's world, and be prepared to be part of how that grace, how that light is reflected through us back out into a world. Let us be an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we invite you to come into our lives. Allow us to be able to shed those hard exterior elements of ourselves and instead move to a place through vulnerability to trust in you and your word. There are times that may require us to do something radical. Let us know that radical journey, that we are accompanied on that journey with you. We know that you tell us to go out into the world, to go make, baptize, teach. And we know that you tell us that you will be with us to the end of the age. Keep reminding us of that. Keep reminding us of the fact that we are called to be your children. We're called to reflect your light, your grace, and to bring about transformation, change in the world. We ask this blessed name of Christ Jesus, and all of God's children say, Amen. Please stand.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.